Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Outstanding in a cocktail. Outstanding in a cocktail.
I want to feel comfortable inside, Lance.
Outstanding in a...
You have got to be able to pull up.
Outstanding in a cocktail.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a day we got today. We got a lot of Astros to talk, a lot of stuff from yesterday's game, but we also got NBA draft to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Brad O and Will are going to join us here.
Yeah, Brad O, I think, is going to, from the Brad O and Will podcast. Those guys really hustle, do a great job. So we're going to get a fan perspective on Rockets coming up, free agency, and the draft. And we'll do that at, let's see, that is 8:15 break, 8:17, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
We've got Spencer Hall from Everyday Should Be Saturday. Actually, Spencer does. He's on ESPN with Scott Van Pelt now. Spencer's extremely talented college football writer and one of the good thinkers and podcasters. And he wrote an article about having transfer fees, just like the Premier League, where – you know, a lot of times in Premier League, there's a big discrepancy, right? You got your very top teams, and you have everyone else.
Yeah.
And a lot of the best players end up getting poached from all the other teams. Well, you pay transfer fees. Like, it's not just it's not like the NBA or NFL or baseball where you trade players. For the most part, you have to buy a player from the team, and then you pay that player a heavy contract. Well, that model might make sense for what's going on in the poaching of college football players. So Spencer Hall wrote an article about, hey, why don't we just start instituting transfer fees where if somebody wants to come take, the U of H running back who just...
Alton
McCaskill. You take Alton McCaskill, now U of H gets a $250,000 transfer fee where you pay a fee. Maybe it's a percentage of what he gets paid, whatever the case may be.
What would be better is you can't poach anybody, but okay.
Yeah.
But that's, I think it's unrealistic now because everybody's poaching everybody.
Like I said, you throw a one-year waiting period unless your coach is gone, all of a sudden that stuff goes away because no one's going to be willing to poach a player and then wait and pay them not to sit. I mean, you may have some for a freshman maybe, but it's just not going to happen for players who are – going to be juniors and seniors.
Yeah, but once
no
you open Pandora's box, it's over. You can't,
well, see, all you have to do is create a rule, and then you have to maybe win in Supreme Court.
That's what.
Yeah. I mean, right. That's, you know. But
and the Supreme Court.
Right
go,
now, it's
no,
worth it. Right well, now, it's yeah. worth the challenge because right. if you win, it stops a lot of stuff. But in lieu of that, why not adopt? You know, Spencer Hall's talking about adopting. Hey, you might be time to adapt to what they're doing in the Premier League, where we can't stop people from taking the best players. But you have to buy them from us.
Yeah. That would be interesting. That's interesting and probably much more doable than, shutting the Pandora's box.
More than people think. Maybe not exactly like the Premier League concept, but where if you take somebody's player, you now have to give that team, you at least have to, there at least has to be repayment for all of the things that they've spent on them on. You know, scholarships and things like that.
No, that sounds much more doable. We'll talk to Spencer Hall about that. That'll be at 9 o'clock. But we've got a lot of Astros and NBA draft to talk before that. And let's start with the Astros yesterday. What a game. Coming up big again. They had to do it offensively because, man, Christian Javier, holy crap.
God, what happened?
From the start, he was back to that Christian Javier that couldn't find the plate. Remember
it,
early in his
all.
Career?
Yeah.
Holy cow. He was back to that. What for whatever reason, he has been really good, really solid. Holy cow. Was
out of nowhere.
Yesterday.
Five walks. No strikeouts.
Hit batsman.
Hit batter, like completely
one
lost.
Strikeout he had.
Yeah, and this is kind of scary because it was so bad that you just think, okay, hopefully this isn't something in his head.
Man.
I mean, hopefully it's something mechanical. I mean, you hope it's just one time and he's done and everything's fine. But, man, I am interested to see what the next start looks like because this one was terrible, especially what we expect from Christian Javier.
Absolutely. And Seth Martinez came in, did a nice job. Maton came in and just – just, you know, he brings him in for a lefty. After Seth Martinez strikes two guys out in a row with two men on, he comes back, strikeout, and then he pulls him because a lefty is coming up, and Maton gives it up. And so those two runs are charged to Seth Martinez, nothing to Maton, and Maton's the one who actually let it up. And then Montero comes in. My goodness, can this be worse? I don't know that it could possibly be worse. If the Astros were to make the I know Dusty, he probably has him on the postseason roster. There is zero chance that you can throw this guy in the postseason. There is no lead big enough for Rafael Montero. Oh,
Montero
right now,
being this bad, I mean, he's going to have a hard time. He's going to really have a hard time getting in games for much longer. We're talking about a guy who may have to go spend some time in Sugar Land because this is unbelievable, but you're not going to DFA a player who just signed a 3-year guaranteed deal. But he may have to go spend some time in Sugarland and try to figure out what's going on.
Well, with his service time, you can't send him to Sugarland.
Are none of those rules, are those rules all the same? Yeah. I guess there were changes during COVID about veterans, but you might, my gosh, can you DFA a guy who has a 3-year contract? You want to talk about, and look, you know who was trending yesterday on Twitter last night? Bagwell. I just saw the name Bagwell. So I went to it. And sure enough, as you would expect, it was about Crane and Bagwell. I mean, the disaster of the month and a half, 2 months without a general manager is astounding. That this much damage, it was like it's reminiscent of the damage that Bill O'Brien did as a general manager in just a very short amount of time, how he was able to do so much damage as a general manager. People who don't know what they're doing, you know, no offense to Jeff Bagwell. Jeff Bagwell is not qualified to run Astros baseball the way Astros baseball had been run.
Yeah.
He wasn't part of it in the era that he was an Astro, and this contract immediately was highly suspicious because this isn't hindsight. Abreu a little bit is hindsight just because people were excited about Abreu's signing.
No, Montero was not though.
Montero wasn't immediately. It was like the Astros don't do deals for relievers for 3 years.
Well, not only that, but of all of the relievers.
A guy who had one season ever.
Ever.
What in the world are you doing?
No, everybody shook their head and went, what is this? 34 and a half for this guy?
You can't get out of a 3-year deal. Like, this was such a bad deal. And if this is Crane, then what was Crane doing? If this is Bagwell, then this guy should be nowhere near. Like, what damage has been done? From I don't care if it's Crane or Bagwell, not having a GM that was running Astros baseball the way Astros baseball is supposed to be run, it did some damage to you.
Yeah, it absolutely did, and it's damn. Well, listen, it's Jim Crane's money, so then that's just eaten. But you got another one that's almost $60 million in Jose Abreu, and quite frankly, you're better off. Would Jose Abreu have had the kind of day that Mauricio Dubon had yesterday? I don't know. I don't know, but he had a couple of doubles and hit the ball on the nose every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was Mauricio Dubon good yesterday. So was, Yiner had his, he struggled at the plate until he gets a hold of one. There is zero reason. Now, Corey Jolks had himself a nice game. He is, his OPS is almost 700. Which is nice. He's at 300 and 400. He's almost at 700. And it seems like Corey Jolks comes up with big moments. It seems like Corey Jolks comes up with big hits.
It's true, because that's why it feels like his OPS, it feels like his slashes are better,
than they are. But the catch he made, too, to save Montero's ass was one of the best catches of the season, quite frankly. That was a BB that was hit, and it would have been more damage Montero had done if not Corey Jolks in left field catching that ball. But there's no reason. There is zero reason that Chaz isn't an everyday player. There is zero reason that Chaz is not on the field. Chaz has proven himself, even with all of this sitting and intermittent time that he's on the field, he still comes up with big hits. He still comes up. He still hits for power. And he plays a very good. We've seen Jake struggle in center field. Chaz McCormick should be out there. If Jolks, if you want to play Jolks, then play Jolks as well. But it's Jake Myers that needs to be. I mean, Jake has had his moments, But for whatever reason, his love for jokes and Myers is taking time away from Chaz McCormick that just you just can't. Mm-hmm. Now, there's another way to go about this, because Martin Maldonado is just – it's just no other way to put it. He's just awful. He is his OPS now is around it's just terrible. 271 on base, a 286 slugging. That is the worst. He is one of the worst hitters in baseball history. Literally baseball history. Yiner can catch okay. You think Yiner you would have been worse off behind the plate with Yiner than with that 8-run explosion that the Mets had yesterday? Why is it that Yiner can't catch more? And Maldonado sit more. You can get Chaz in the lineup. You need the offense of Chaz in the lineup. You get rid of an automatic out in the 9-hole. There is no reason that Yiner should not be behind the plate 3 times a week. Three times a rotation.
If you're going to have to look, if your pitching's going to be this unstable, then you're going to have to score more runs. So now you're going to have to maybe sacrifice defense for offense.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those things where the Astros have been so good offensively for such a long time that they could afford to sacrifice offense for defense. It wasn't a problem. Now, you may not be able to sacrifice it much longer because the offense, look how much you're having to score to win. Look how much you're having to score to beat teams. This is not Astros baseball. So, this really... Out of a 5-game stretch, Diaz, worst case scenario, has got to be 2 times catching, 1 time DH. At worst case scenario, he's got to play 3 out of every 5.
Or 2. No,
and it probably needs to be 4 out of every 5.
He needs to be in it 4 out of 5. He's got to be in the lineup. The way that he's hitting, he's got to be in the lineup, period. Period. The way this guy is.
What did Diaz do yesterday?
Just homered?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, did you see that bunt? With the
he did score a run. He did bunt and they scored a run. He had an RBI.
Did you see that clutch performance?
When he was up with, there was no reason when you got a 1-run game. There was no reason that he was at the plate except he did get lay down the bunt. But if he would have just struck out again or hit into a double play or whatever, I mean when he struck out and looked at 3 pitches with first and second and 1 out, I was glad. Don't swing the bat. Do not swing the bat, Maldonado, because you're going to hit into a double play. Altuve and everybody's like, what is he looking at? I'm like, thank you. Look at strike 3 and go sit down. Because the last thing the Astros needed at that point was a double play. It's so unbelievable. Dusty is so – I don't get it. I just don't – he's not – is he? I'm not sure he's watching the same thing that we all are. And we're not – I mean, it's like every – we're not saying something that – that is outrageous, or how in the world? I mean, it just seems like it's
we're not even cooking.
No, we're not cooking. It seems like everybody is saying the same thing about this. What in the hell? I know Dusty's won 2000. I know he won the World Series last year. But, man, you got to let go. If guys aren't performing, you got to do what's best for the team. And right now, what's best for the team is Maldonado sitting and Yiner Diaz playing.
Yeah.
That's what's best for the Astros.
Yeah, it may be hard because I know Dusty loves Maldonado. I think, you know, I really like him, too. I really have a good special place in my heart for what Maldonado does. I think he does more for the pitching staff than people realize. We know that talking to Ryan Pressly. But this is just not it's just not an offense anymore that can withstand a bat that's that bad and that seems to constantly be coming up with men on base. It's just not. If he's hitting 225, that's one thing. 225, you can fade 225 nowadays in a lineup. But he's not. He's not even close to hitting 225. I mean, this is as bad as it's been with the Astros. This is as poorly as he's hit, and it's turning into a lot of punch outs, which sometimes just say, God, I hope he strikes out here and doesn't hit no double play. I mean,
that was the thought yesterday.
I know.
Well done. Just sit there. Don't take the bat off your shoulder.
Don't swing. Either walk or strike out.
That's awful. But it can't be worse for him. Hey, listen, you're right. Maldonado is, and the guys love him. The pitchers love him. Everybody loves Martin Maldonado. He's one of the favorite players on the team, but it's just not best for you right now. And this is not where you've got the same lead that you've had in years past.
Right.
You can't afford to give these games away. You know, you can't afford these Sunday lineups anymore. You got to win. You got to start playing with a little bit more urgency than they've had to since 2016. This is the most urgency that they have to play with.
Well, because you're not – the injuries have put you in a position – the injuries, the improvement in your division of the Rangers and Angels, you're in a position now where you can't just say, oh, we're going to be fine. It's just – this is a marathon, not a sprint. No, you probably need to hit the sprint button a little bit and get back into position. You can't play this marathon thing because you don't have the consistency of bats. You don't have the consistency of pitching. You need to start managing to win games. You know, give yourself the best chance to win games. Yeah, there is a level of urgency here. You're right. The level of urgency here is unlike anything we've seen in a while because this is about making playoffs right now. You cannot afford to keep getting down, and you already see it now. It looks like you're going to have battles where you're going to have to score. You know, it's going to take, with the way the bullpen's pitching, you're going to have a minimum of 4 runs. And I only say 4 because Fromber won with 4 the other day. It may take even more. Mm-hmm. Look how many times teams are getting to 8 runs on you, 7 runs on you. My gosh. And Montero is terrible. You cannot continue to throw out Montero and Maldonado. You just can't. Sometimes guys who are in slumps have to just sit. Yep. They have to sit. And best case scenario is these guys are in slumps. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, which I fear, is that you gave a terrible contract to a guy who had 1 year at a position that tends to go up and down, which is relief pitcher, and you've got a guy who's proven he's not a hitter. And you have, you know, but usually it's, well, what's the other options? Well, now, yeah, this isn't even a minor league option where, well, maybe Corey Lee, like he's a highly regarded prospect. No, this is Yainer Diaz, who has proven last year he was a great hitter in the minor leagues, and this year he's having a red hot June.
Yep. Well,
it's not. This shouldn't be hard, Dusty.
The Astros even put it out there, making an impact player, the impact player of the homestand. It's Yainer Diaz, 10 hits, 4 home runs, 7 RBIs, 4 runs, and a .286 average. You cannot take this guy out of the lineup.
4 home runs.
All right, let's take one here, quick one. 713-780-3776. A little site jab.
Let's talk about what SiteJab does, and that's build custom websites from the ground floor up with the back-end information that needs to be on there in terms of the coding, and then the front end. And the front end is a design, and really the design is what they really study. They study it over and over on how to take businesses and make them as fluid as possible. And people are maneuvering and navigating around your website. They want them to stay on the pages. They want them to have, you want to have a sticky website where if your business depends on it, they go from this, you know, from this page to this page so that you get the information that you need about who you are, what your work looks like, who you've done work with, and, you know, how to get a hold of you and how to get in contact with you so that you can do the same work for that person who's reading your website and going through your website. So that's what SiteJab is about. It's about building sites that look great, that are highly functional, that get you to the information quickly, and that are interactive billboards for your company. And they can even, you know, create input e-commerce for your site as well so that people can sign up directly with e-commerce and take advantage of your information instantly, that you can start to help people or start to work with them instantly through e-commerce. It's SiteJab.com. A great site. They're giving away $975. They're taking that off of your fee, so they're basically giving you $1,000 to do work with them. Get your $975 discount for a brand new site with SiteJab.com. Just make sure you tell them you heard about it from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You've chosen wisely.
I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
You know this ain't a game to ask. My future's looking promising. Problem with my mama again, troubling. Money thinks it's running things. When no income isn't coming in. Running with the wrong again, gone again. Money. I keep sending
cash. Let's all get back to two white guys talking sports. Wow, that's a totally new concept. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back. 721 ESPN 97.5 92.5. What do the Rockets do tonight?
I don't know. Do they make a trade?
I do. I think something big is going to happen. I don't have any reason to believe that.
Marcus Smart is being dealt.
Marcus Smart to Memphis seems like a pretty good idea.
It does. It does. It's I think it's getting a veteran in the building for John Morant.
Yeah.
I think that is a trade. That is a John Morant based trade.
That's the kind
insurance
of guy you want.
If Ja screws up, and really, frankly, I think you just want Marcus in the building.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
Subtract Dylan Brooks, add Marcus Smart.
Yeah. You got two defensive players of the year now on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to tighten up that building seriously. Getting rid of Dylan Brooks and his mouth and all the stuff that went on with that. Ja Morant with his there could be a lot of headbanging in that locker room if Marcus does, if he gets on Ja. And Ja ain't having it. It'll be interesting to see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
It needs to happen.
And we'll see if 25 games of no pay gets Ja to tighten it up a little bit, because we know that 8 had no bearing on anything. So we'll see. I don't know what will happen.
Ja's response allegedly behind the scenes about they're after me, and all of this crap, as opposed to being
the
contrite.
The media,
everybody's after. Yeah,
the commissioner's after me.
Yeah. So that
it doesn't look like a guy who has said I need to do better. That doesn't give that vibe. That's why I thought the year would have been good for him, because I really do think it would have given him time to really think about stuff and reflect and see how he would have missed basketball and could have done a lot of stuff, but I think 25 is not ultimately going to really matter. Not when you have that kind of money coming in.
Like Porzingis goes to the Celtics. Man, the Wizards are they're the A's now, aren't they? I mean, they just gave up. They just said, we don't want any players. We don't want any money on the books. They're going to have to spend money, though. They got to spend the money. You got a floor in the NBA. You can't just not spend money in the NBA. You're just going to lose it. So it'll be interesting to see.
But Marcus
Who's going to want to go there and play, though?
Well, Marcus Smart being on the move and Porzingis, you're basically saying this is what's taking place right before trade deadline. You could start to see on more throughout the day. And if you think there's a big move coming, then it would probably involve that fourth pick, I would assume.
Absolutely. I don't think he may want to get young. I mean, the Rockets are young enough.
They're plenty young.
Enough. Yeah.
Your core is extraordinarily young.
Still.
Matter of fact, I don't think you can win that young. Not until you grow up a little bit. And we're headed in that direction, but it takes time. There's nothing you can do with it.
Sign and trade with a guy who just opted out of his contract and Chris Middleton?
Yeah, so I've thought about Middleton before. I think Middleton is one of those standard scorers.
He gave up $40 million. $40.4 million he gave up.
Well,
where is he going to get that?
You just wonder if he is concerned, and this is a guy who has been injured here over the last couple of years, but you do wonder if Middleton is either once out of there or basically is just was worried that he would have just a short-term deal that he might hurt him. He may be giving up a little bit of money on the short term to get something longer term. Maybe he gets $35 million somewhere, but he gets it for 3 years, 4 years. That might be something he's trying to do also. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. A guy who I'm thinking about, this kind of scares me, thinking just about the Rockets, because he opted out of his deal in Washington, and I really feel like there may be some, why not? But, Kyle Kuzma, a scorer off the bench, because I feel like you're really going to be thinking about the bench at this point with your young core. Is Kyle Kuzma a guy that would move the needle for Ime?
Now, here's the thing. Kuzma has talent. He has his moments where he plays really well. I don't really think that's what's lacking on the Rockets. I think we've got talented players in this city who I really do think there's some talent. I mean, it's overblown at times by Rockets fans who think that it's just some kind of Golden State run is coming soon. It's just a matter of maturity. I think that's kind of wishful thinking. Maybe it's overblowing the talent that's on the roster, but I do think there's enough talent. So I think right now it's just about getting the right mix together and helping Jalen. How can we get Jalen Green and Şengün to become their best versions of themselves, to become the best workers and the best professionals they can become? I think those are some of the questions right now that have to be asked. And I'm not sure what this is going to look like, but I'm not sure Kyle Kuzma is what I envisioned. I just think he's another young, talented player who, you know, Kuzma also feels like a guy who his Instagram stories is just as big as the game. I mean, what his pregame fashion is seems to really be important to him, and that's fine as long as ball is really, really important for you too. And I don't know. I don't know on Kuzma. I don't know. He seems to also be involved in a little bit of drama here and there too. So I just don't know on Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah. Whatever.
He's not really what I was thinking of as a complimentary piece.
Yeah, honestly. I don't know. We'll see. I just have a feeling. I don't know anything. I haven't talked to anybody in the organization for a few weeks. But there's just something. They're not going to set. I think the Rockets are going to make a big splash this offseason. I think that there's something that's going to happen. We've seen a couple of splashes already. You know, the Wizards have given up everybody. So, I mean, that's done. Bradley Beal gone. Porzingis gone now. But there is something. That'll be something in the works that they're going to get. I just feel like they're not going to sit and just take the fourth pick and take the 20th pick and just try to grab whatever. I just think that there's something in the works. We'll find out, though, here going forward. If they do draft, Cam Whitmore or Amen Thompson? You want the shooting or do you want the athlete?
Well, apparently they're looking at both Thompson twins.
Yeah, Oster too.
That both of the Thompson twins could be ahead of Cam Whitmore right now. Whitmore's over-under, I think there's people who believe he could slide to 10. I think that's what Windhorst said, could slide to 10, which I thought, that's interesting.
And there is a report that Houston wants to flip 20 to try to get to 10.
That's the Şengün model, where they basically, Rafael Stone thought that Şengün was one of the best, you know, was one of the best players in the entire draft, and they really held tight and were disciplined to wait for Şengün to fall to them. I don't think they traded up for Şengün, but I know that he had talked about they really wanted to move up because they thought he was a top five player, and they waited it out and ended up getting Şengün. So this could be the same situation where you say, look, we know we have two draft picks, but we eye this one as one we really want, so we'll just wait it out and eventually use 20 and a future pick to move up and get the guy we want. But, boy, do you really want to do that? You know what you could see them do? Is you could see them move four, trade back, and then use that as, you know, and then trade out of the first with the 20th pick. But I don't know. There's different things that they could do. They could eye Cam Whitmore later in the first. They could use four and one of the players on their roster to try to pick up a veteran, which I wouldn't mind seeing. But if you're going to trade four, it needs to be for a starter.
Yeah,
it really does.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
And although, which position is most likely? I think the position most likely to be a starter is going to be, frankly, I think it's going to be point. I don't think it's going to be center.
On the other side, we're going to hear from Jonathan Givony about how he's enamored. He is enamored with Amen Thompson. We will hear from him on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right now, though. Stephen Schell, are you enamored with him?
I am. Really cool to have the big fans. Just like I wanted out in the patio, we've got the outdoor kitchen, which has been phenomenal. Burgers, let me give you an idea. I also have a rotisserie. It's got a back burner. It's a gas grill, so I've got a smoker. I've got the gas grill. Oh, smoker. It's a Memphis, so it's a smoker and it's a grill. I've got two different grates, so I can cook directly over fire or smoke on that one. And that's one that I can roll out. But the one that's actually in my outdoor kitchen is a gas grill that has a heating element at the back end of the grill, which is allowing for rotisserie. And I'm going to do my first rotisserie cook. I'm going to do picanha on the spit and have it rotate. It's an automatic electrical rotation that is going to, I can't wait to do the picanha just like you see at the Brazilian steakhouses. We're going to try that one out, and I'm really excited to do that. I've got so many options. I've got burners now on the side with my outdoor kitchen. I have my refrigerator to keep all of my, either my drinks or certain food elements that I want to, you know, end up incorporating in my outdoor kitchen. I've done the sausage and bacon wrapped quail, done burgers out there, done steaks. It's building memories. That's what we're doing. And that's something that you can do as well. You work. And then you think about, I can't wait until I can do some really fun things. And before you know it, you get older, time's passed, and those really fun things may have passed you by. Don't miss out on that time. get yourself an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor patio, big screen television, sound system, swimming pool. You can do it now. They can finance, and you can live your best life. You can have those dreams and live that right now rather than being sorry down the road. Get with Texas Custom Patios today. Go to the website. Start to daydream today. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude, stop chewing on the power cables.
Yeah, what I thought. Minock. Chewing on the power cable. Minock.
Ain't no trust. All my gangsters understand.
Open up the premises. I've been a... Ain't beneficial. I'm about to issue your nemesis. Evacuate the building when I come through. Evaluate your feelings when I come through.
Now back to two guys who would by now be recognized as common law married in at least 8 states. John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Jonathan Givony is an NBA expert, and he knows more. He studied more.
He knows way more than you do.
Well, he knows way more. Oh, no. It's
not me, because I am also a draft expert.
You're a draft expert, but... not for NBA draft expert,
no,
per
once
se.
You're a...
Well, you're a draft expert in everything now?
Okay, so
well,
if you
so
went to...
So who's going to be the first pick in the soccer draft?
Well, no, hold on a second. If you went to Texas A&M, are you a former Aggie, or are you a...
Yeah, you're an Aggie. Yeah, for life.
Yeah, if
you're a tenured, draft expert for life.
If you're a professor and you're tenured, do you just get kicked out?
No.
So Supreme Court justices.
Then let me know. Okay, give me the first 5 picks of the major league draft that's coming up.
Easy. Pitcher from LSU. I don't do names. I just do school.
Oh, because, yeah, okay, and then?
I'll do names
and then
in football.
After that pitcher from LSU?
Yep, hitter.
Of which you don't know his name? Okay.
Hitter, no, I know his name, but I don't.
You
do?
You know, yeah. You know Paul Skeens?
Yep, hitter okay. From LSU.
All right.
Also, and this is in no particular order
what number does he bat in the lineup?
First. This is going to be my substack.
He actually does. Dylan
yeah.
Cruz.
This yeah. is going to be my, he's hitting, it's insanely high. OPS. This is going to be my substack, so I can't give it away right now. You're
right.
Going to have to get also player from Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm. There is, oh, okay.
Yep, player from Florida mm-hmm. State, I believe, and then well, actually, player from high school.
One which, is from any high school in
particular. One is from Georgia.
A Georgia high school.
Yeah, one is from Texas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So there mm-hmm. you have it.
Well, there you go. Draft well,
soccer
expert.
Easy.
So
Kalu. From Brazil.
So give me your breakdown of Amen Thompson then.
3-and-D wing player, has good length, is able to really move well laterally, loose hips, obviously.
Yeah, no, loose hips, yeah.
A guy who is younger, which is important.
Right.
He has some youth, so he's...
Younger than what?
He's younger than most people. He's able to provide a youth movement.
Okay.
See, so far none of this has been inaccurate. Dribbles okay, shooting's not great, has a twin brother.
Yeah,
has been highly active on the defensive end, can play some different positions, uses his length effectively as a defender.
Okay.
His ball handling needs to get better. He's not a great shot maker. He has good competitive nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He is able to rotate defensively, has different types of moves, able to do things defensively like rotate and smother. Good closeouts.
Rotate and smother. Okay.
Yep. He's a rotate and smother type player.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got your breakdown.
From what I've seen.
No, no, no. I got you.
Kind of a rotate and smother specialist. Kind of a 3-and-D guy
rotate
is what I call
him. Smother specialist.
It's something that we're talking... Well, okay. We've added this lexicon. It hasn't caught up yet, but yeah. You'll hear it by next year. But he's a 3... We call him 3-and-D. But he doesn't shoot threes very well.
No, right. Other than that three part. Let's hear Jonathan Givony and what Rocket fans should think of Amen Thompson.
All right, fine.
I just think Houston is going to go into tomorrow with the assumption that we don't know what's going to happen. That we don't know Harden. We're going to take the best player we can at 4. And I love Amen Thompson, man. This guy is a mega, mega talent. I just actually working on a kind of an OTE thing. So I've been rewatching a lot of OTE stuff. Holy cow, is this guy talented. I mean, yeah. If I'm a Houston Rockets fan, I'm very, very excited to have him on my roster.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we've been in the draft community.
Yours sounded a little different, but okay.
No, in the draft community. Well, what did he say? He can give you any specifics. He said, holy cow, is he good. Am I excited? big deal. Give some thought. Like, break it down like
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, no.
You
want to
know about his brother, Amir?
Osser?
Yeah, well, but do you want to know about his younger brother, Amir?
No, that's not, I don't know that they have an Amir.
He's got a younger. Okay. He's 2 years
Amen,
younger.
Osser.
Okay, well, I'll do Osser.
No, that's okay.
3-and-D guy.
Now, let's hear instead long, from someone else, Kevin O'Connor, on Amen's potential if he's drafted by the Rockets.
Fine.
Thursday night, that player you're describing with those athletic traits, if he goes to the Rockets with Jalen Green in that backcourt, as amazing as an athlete Jalen Green is, Amen Thompson is even better. But those two together are going to be nightly highlight reels. You're going to see their highlights on Instagram and TikTok, and they complement each other skills-wise. Totally. Doesn't that feel like a good fit for him with the Houston Rockets?
I think that's the best-case scenario for Amen, where you give him a bunch of athletes who can run with him. You give him some, you know, release valves on the perimeter. Jalen Green's improving his shot. Jabari yeah. Smith. Yeah, totally. I mean, him and Tari Eason running the floor together, that is absolutely bonkers. Plus, you put in Şengün, you know, can create some really creative plays with those two, with the amount of playmaking that they can summon together. I mean, you put Amen in the short roll, like, that mm-hmm. is some real, real, real fun basketball.
Now, I will say, those are a lot of my thoughts, too.
Uh-huh. No, that's what I heard out of you, too. Yep.
But I will say, because I'm also very excited about, you know, can you believe it, how many TikTok videos are going to be? That's one of the things I like hearing is, you know how many TikTok videos and highlights are going to be? Like, oh, man, good. That's great.
I didn't hear a win in there anywhere.
No, like, you know how deep this thing can go on the, I mean, the amount of TikTok videos that they're going to have? Wow. Yeah, I like, hopefully the wins are higher than TikTok videos. Well, no, the TikTok videos are always going to be the highest, but so the one concern I would have though is you're throwing all these guys. They mentioned Tari Eason and Jabari Smith and Jalen Green, and there's a lot of athleticism and there's a lot of length, which I love, but do all the pieces fit together? Like, are you just throwing a lot of length and athleticism at it, or Can Jabari play well with Tari Eason? How does Jabari and Amon Thompson and Jalen Green, how do they fit together? I do have questions about that. I mean, you could go, look, is Tari Eason going to be your three of the future? Is it going to be Thompson? Are you going to have Jalen and Thompson and Jabari and Şengün as your, you know, kind of a smaller lineup, a little leaner lineup, and then you got Kevin Porter Jr., who has good size for a point guard, but is he, I mean, almost, if you were to draft Amen Thompson at 4, my gosh, you did. You just got, you at some point, you now are developing enough talent, enough accumulation of young talent that you are going to have to eventually say, look, we got to make a move at point guard. We have to make a move at point guard. We can't just have this many individual athletes and not have,
why can't we have a point center?
We have seen point forwards before, and you do have, I mean, let's face it, you do have, for as much as Jamal Murray is a good center. Player, but yeah, Jamal is not necessarily a creator
no.
in that sense.
They have a point center.
Yeah. You couldn't. You're not going to have a point center, but what you're asking is why can't you run
the offense
more out of the high, mm-hmm. just high pick and roll, high post stuff? I don't think it's crazy. I actually don't think it's crazy. You know why? Because he can put the ball on the ground and take. He's proven this time and again. Şengün, what's kind of special about him is he can start high pick and roll, catch the ball even before the free throw line, and then dribble and do spin moves and reverse pivots and get to the basket. Like, it actually does. He actually may be more fluid at that than Jokic is. So actually, I don't think that's a bad idea. Now, you're not going to call him a point center, but you have the ability to let him function like that.
I mean, I've created a new position.
Yeah, we had Paul Pressey was the original point forward from Don Nelson with the Bucks. Now you've created point center.
Point center. It's not point setter, but no. It's point center. And in New York, it's point setter. Mm-hmm. But here, it's point center. And, you know, quite frankly, well, I mean, how many guys have said the offense should run through Şengün? I mean, I'm just repeating what a lot of guys NBA players, right? How many times have we heard that, RJ, over the last year?
Many times. I think even the Minnesota Timberwolves commentary team said, yeah, they should build a team around 28.
Yeah.
It should. And here's the great thing about it. You can go through Şengün, like if you started going through him more, you can go through him in a traditional low post in terms of dump down and let him operate. You can do it through high screen and rolls. You can flash him to the high post. Like, there's different entry points that you can get the ball to Şengün and let him be creative. And the great thing about Şengün,
let him cook,
because he can create shot looks for himself, but he can also create for other people with his passing and his vision. So, at some point, I don't know. Like, I love what Tari Eason does. At some point, one of these young players that's on the roster right now is going to be currency to go get a player that you think is just more important. Whether it's Tari Eason, whether it's Jabari Smith, whether it's Jalen Green, I don't think Şengün, but you just never know. Somebody is going to probably need to move, because what you're going to be able to do is they're going to have value. Mm-hmm. Like, Tari Eason, you scored with Tari Eason.
Yep, no. Well, you got enough of
Tari. Who is a better rookie, Tari Eason or Jabari Smith?
Tari Eason was a lot more, less was expected of him. He exceeded expectations.
I'd say he was more consistent. I think Tari was more consistent.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, again, I think Stephen Silas was the worst coach for him, for Jabari. He did absolutely nothing for him. 745 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You know who's doing something for you? It's Chesang Ford. They are doing something for you. They're doing something for everybody. Everybody who becomes a client joins the family. The first thing that they told me when I started doing these spots is, hey, tell them to join the family, okay? And I joined the Chesang family. I bought a couple of vehicles from them now, and I love my truck. And you're going to love your truck too, no matter what it is that you get from Chesang Ford. They've got them on the lot, but you can also order as well. You're not paying MSRP when you order from Chesang Ford. You're not adding on. You're not marking up. They're not doing any of that stuff. You're getting exactly what you want every single time. If you want the sunroof, if you want the leather seats, they're not going to add nitrogen to the tires. They're not doing all of that stuff that other dealerships do just to jack up the bill so that you pay more. It just doesn't happen at Chesang Ford. It's not the way they go about it. The way they go about it is getting you into that Ford car or truck at the best price that they can possibly get it for you, with all the rebates and everything else that Ford offers. You want that vehicle, you want it your way, you get it your way with no add-ons and no markups every time at ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You're buying a Ford, there's only one place to go. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Preeminent NFL draft analyst, the godfather of Houston sports talk. Put them together and you get the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Man, did you hear the big news yesterday?
The Astros won?
That was big news. You saw the big news.
I saw it. I was there. I was with the people. Yep.
You were at the game in a suite.
I wasn't in a suite. I was not in a suite.
What was it?
False information. It's fake news that you're trying to spread around to the
Your
people.
Your seats were the very best. The greatest seats. Nobody's seats were better.
No, my seats were not better than everybody else's seats. I was in the... Was I even on the lower level? No. Fake news by you again.
You were in the club, on the club level. Very special barbecue dishes. Very
they
great.
Do have very special
the greatest food options.
No, the greatest food options are down in the Diamond Club.
I wouldn't
club.
Know. You've been in a Diamond Club. Man of the people.
Man of people.
Look at that. I predicted.
What Harry was the Douglas big news?
Said, Harry Douglas said Bears.
Yeah, he did.
The big news is, so you don't know. I don't even know if they were on this morning, but Max, J. Will, and Keyshawn are out.
Max and J. Will were on.
They were?
Keyshawn wasn't there.
Yeah, those three are out, or that show's off
show's
because
off.
ESPN's getting ready to do more layoffs. It is a. It is.
This That's business. Been a revolving door, that show.
Yeah, but this is really less about the show. And now there is talk about maybe the Pat McAfee. Well, no, McAfee's coming in for a one-hour show, taking Max's other afternoon show. But there's just they're just going to do. There's just more layoffs. Like, this is what people don't understand. The all the podcasts that come along and the cord cutting and everything that has taken place, and then ESPN, I think, maybe has made some not great programming decisions that they thought were going to be great, that frankly, like the Mike and Mike, thinking that they were going to get rid of Mike and Mike and that would be fine, although Mike Greenberg, I think, was part of that, was behind that, but that's ended up being a huge disaster for them from a rating standpoint, a revenue standpoint.
I don't think they care. I really don't.
I heard that from somebody. No, and I've also heard, you know, and my agent kind of told me, he's like, it's about the live programming now. Like, the debate shows, they're almost just throwing stuff on there and just said, look, hopefully this will work. But they gave Pat McAfee a ton of money, but it looks like their model is, we're going to hire you, but Ryan Clark, Ryan Clark and now Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith and all these guys need to be part. You got to be part of multiple shows. You got to have your own podcast. You got to be part of game day type stuff as well. But yeah, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, that show is, I don't know if it's immediate, but that show is going to be gone. And there's apparently more layoffs. We had some at NFL Network. Like, it's a weird time. The cord cutting and the lack of subscriptions is really going to change the way we see sports over the next 5 years. Mm. It's already drastically reduced it behind the scenes. Like, my NFL draft stuff, when I started in 2015, the amount of people I had working on my draft profile, now my draft profiles come out so late because I have one guy who's an editor. Used to have three editors. We're down to one editor because, you know, it's just way it is.
That's it.
That's a bunch of cuts.
That's the world, and especially at ESPN with the, you know.
But they're have and have nots. Like, they'll actually pay a lot of money to guys as long as like Stephen A. Smith, Pat McAfee, you know, oh, we'll afford you, but you're going to work in multiple platforms.
Yep.
And those two guys aren't afraid to work now. Pat McAfee shows up everywhere. Stephen A. Smith, he is now doing politics on his own podcast. He's now delving into politics.
He wants to take Pat Sajak's place.
Yeah, he's on General Hospital.
Right.
He's doing everything.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. He plays a recurring character on General Hospital.
Yeah. All right. They were just looking at something here on ESPN. Which NFC North quarterback would you take? And as you predicted, Harry took
That was team.
Justin Fields.
I thought that was team.
No, which quarterback do you want? Which QB do you want in the NFC North?
Oh, it's which QB.
And I saw an article, or I saw a piece yesterday that said Justin Fields is this year's Jalen Hurts.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible, too.
I actually think it's possible. He's a very good runner. I definitely think it's possible. They've got, you know, they've added Samuel at wide receiver, so you have a kind of a number one for him. You got Chase Claypool now with a second year. You know, he got traded midseason to the Bears, so it took a while to learn the offense. He really wasn't a factor.
Well, to that,
yeah,
to that, it was 1 year ago yesterday that Chase Claypool said this on a podcast.
I feel that way when I'm on the field. I understand. I know for a fact I am not like the rest of the guys in the NFL. I know I'm a top five receiver.
Yeah.
I know I'm a top three receiver.
Yeah.
I'm
keep going. Keep going.
I just got to prove to people. Right? When I'm working, I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm a dog. Like,
right.
I'm a dog. People line up across from me, too. And I just got to bring that confidence, and I got to bring that spirit, and I just got to show the people. And it's going to happen, and we're going to rewind this, and we're going to see this clip in a little bit, and they're like, damn.
Can we see numbers?
Right.
Well, numbers? Chase Claypool is not a top five wide receiver in the league. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Warren Sharp put these stats out there.
Okay.
Pittsburgh was 2-6 with him, 7-2 without him. Chicago was 0-9 with him, 3-6 without him. Both passing attacks were much more efficient without Claypool. Chicago, before trading for Claypool, 7.5 yards per attempt. Chicago with Claypool, 5.5 yards per attempt.
Yeah, I think that I talked to Brian Poles about this at the class. What happened with Claypool? And he said, look, he said, from a terminology standpoint, our terminology is way different. It just took him a while to learn the offense, get comfortable. And then, you know, I think Justin wasn't since the wide receiver wasn't comfortable, the quarterback wasn't maybe comfortable with him. And so now, you know, now it's a situation of he's got a whole season and off season in the offense. So now I know they're expecting much more. I think Chase Claypool's got some talent. I liked him when he was at Pittsburgh. The problem is he's a great red zone option, but you need him to be, you know, you need him to be a guy who gets 60 catches a game. Like, he needs to be a true number two wide receiver. But I'm not writing off Chase Claypool. I think Chase Claypool, with his size, athleticism, and talent, I think he and Samuel could be. I mean, this is like having a brand new – you're getting Claypool integrated into the offense, and then you're getting Claypool's integrated into the offense, and then you have DJ Samuel, who is a legit wide receiver option. I think there's some really good things in Chicago. DJ Moore, not Samuel. You have DJ Moore integrated into the offense. So you got a one, you got a two. They got this kid, Tyler Scott, who I think is fantastic out of Cincinnati, who I think is going to develop into a really talented receiver. I don't think it's crazy. Now, you got to have new wide receivers step up. Justin Fields has to take a step forward as a passer. You know, a rookie may have to step up at wide receiver, Tyler Scott and Chase Claypool. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs, but I don't think you're crazy for thinking that statistically, maybe not wins and losses, but statistically, that Justin Fields could look like. Are you going to get him in fantasy football? Is that what you're telling me? Are you in our auction? Are you targeting Justin Fields?
I targeted Jalen Hurts last year.
I know.
Got him.
I think Justin Fields is actually a pretty good fantasy football.
I think he'll
target.
Be a really good fantasy
because worst fantasy case scenario, target. You're getting a lot of yards on the ground.
Yep. Yep.
Worst case scenario.
Yep. No, he's going to score points every week. He's going to score points. All right, 757, Bratto going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This segment was brought to you by the Loaded Baked Potato at Damaris Barbecue. Warm, loaded with butter, cheese, sour cream, chives, topped with your favorite barbecue meat.
Is that coming in today?
It's not. Yanni's lazy and terrible. He's a terrible
person.
And
you got to start the you got to already have the baked potatoes ready. Like, yeah. They've had to have been.
It's not like you could just throw them on. I mean, you got to.
When are you going to shut Yanni's restaurant down unless he brings unless his food? Where are you going to hold him hostage?
I'm disgusted with him. I don't even want to talk about Yanni right now. What I do want to talk about is dipping. And I got a bunch of buddies who dip, and I'm just working hard to get them off, weaning them from it because it's dangerous. All right? I love my friends. I want them to be around. I don't want them to have the lip problems, the jaw problems, the tobacco, the
Tony
nicotine.
Gwynn. Salivary gland. Rest in peace, Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. No, it's dangerous. It's not. This is no joke. This is no joke. And if you've been dipping for a long time, you need to wean yourself from it. The best way to do it, how about with the flavor? They've got all the different flavors. I talked to a buddy of mine, just put in a couple of the other day, and he was like, yeah, this is tasty. It's the citrus or the dark fired or the tobacco flavor or whatever flavor it is that you want. They've got a bunch of them. All you have to do is go to 975dip.com. Start the process. Use that CBD oil to heal as opposed to the nicotine that's hurting you. Right now, go to 975dip.com. Start doing this. You need to wean yourself off of that dip. 975dip.com.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
I was the number one star in the world.
Bang.